Hello, we're here with Mr. Adil Hussain and Mr. Sanjay Bhutiani, who is the producer of Mukti Bhavan. And so, is this your first time in Orwell?
My second time.
Your second time, and so yours?
Countless times.
Really?
Yeah. I don't remember even how many times I've come since 1995.
Wow. Okay, so how has Orwell changed for you since then?
Nothing much. I don't see the changes because I guess the changes are happening behind the shrubs and the greeneries, which is great. Because I also think that the population hasn't grown as much as it used to be in 1995. Maybe 1,000 people have come in.
Yeah.
But I see the changes, which are infrastructure changes in terms of the roads are much more better maintained in terms of not necessarily tarred, thankfully.
Mm-hmm.
And certain restaurants have sprouted.
Yeah.
And certainly.
You just had a good chocolate, Adil.
We had a good chocolate
and
recently.
Coffee.
That is about a bit outside Orville, almost on the. What was the name of the cafe?
It's called Bread and Chocolate.
Bread and Chocolate. Is it part of Orville?
Yes, it is.
Of course it is.
Yeah. Okay. There you go.
It's funny, there's a few restaurants that are trying to be a part of Orville, and even though they're located closer, they're not technically a part of Orville.
Right.
Yeah. So.
No, but it's on that main, on that road.
Yeah, it's on that main road. But from an Orovillian's point of view, they would say that, no, it's not part of Orville.
So definitely Adil is an Orville. He recognizes it as like extended, you know?
Yeah.
Definitely. So how has your stay this been so far with the film festival and everything?
Well, I have come in this morning and had a very two amazing experiences today, actually. One is we went to the Raj Nivas with the Lieutenant Governor, Mrs. Kiran Bedi, hosted Adil as the 10,000th,
visitor.
Wow.
And it was an amazing experience because there were like about 30-40 children and some families and all. Mm-hmm. So apparently they opened Raj Nivas to the public, which is a very good tradition, I think, because it was really beautiful to experience something like that.
Yeah.
And second is we just coming from the university, Pondicherry University, and we met some very young, bright young students, in performing arts and all. And I think the interactive session Adil had with the youngsters was quite an eye-opener. And, you know, for me as a, I'm not an actor, I'm a struggling actor, Adil. So I think the kind of things I could also learn in that interaction was really good.
Okay.
And I think this festival, the way it is being organized is like clockwork. This thing, I landed, the car was there, messages were in, driver was waiting, everything was like really well organized.
Yeah. Very un-Indian.
No, correct. And like our film just started on time at 5, he just told me they have started.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Because there are so many things happening, you know, and it being the first edition of the festival, Pondicherry Film Festival, I think it's a really great initiative.
Yeah.
And a very fantastic way to begin this thing, you know, which is running very smoothly. I can see a lot of people very happy and enjoying the stuff. So I'm going to experience another day or so more.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's going to be good.
So talking about the film festival, Mukti Bhavan is playing as we speak. So I actually have a question for different questions for each of you. So for you, from a producer's aspect, made you decide that you had to back this film? What made it special for you?
There are two very big reasons. One is it was written and directed by my son,
okay,
Shubhashish. Because we had decided that we will work on first project together without any support from any studio or anything. We want to do it on our own, however the film turns out. Second most important thing for me was like when the day he came to me with the story idea and detailed it a bit for me, because the script was written much later.
Yeah.
I jumped at it. I was so excited about, you know, seeing a huge possibility of a film that, you know, the story was so engaging and a family story in such an amazing manner he explained to me. And that was the most exciting part for me.
Okay. And Mr. Hussain, for you, we read a few of the reviews when you were anticipating your arrival, and a lot of them said that your performance was understated brilliance. So what did you do sort of to get into the mindset of the character Rajiv?
Coming from the description that you just gave me, understated brilliance. Generally, what happens in Indian cinema, the culture of Indian acting is pretty a bit louder than the Western understanding of cinematic acting, if I may say that way. And it should not be understated brilliance. I think it is just film acting. Mm-hmm. Because camera comes very close and you don't need to express it. You have to just feel it and the camera catches it. Mm-hmm. That's the job of the cameraman, cinematographer or DOP, whatever you call that, and the director.
Yeah.
So, I had been acting since a long time, but mostly on the stage. And since 2010, I'd been working on the film. So, it had been a... For me to learn how to act in front of the camera, it's a long journey. And with every film, I see myself and I realize that I could do even less and less and less. So that journey, when Mukti Bhavan came in and he came in with such a wonderful script that I haven't read something like that not for a long time. I have not read something like that at all.
In fact, I'll tell you a secret.
Yeah.
He met the director. Mm-hmm. Okay. So first I WhatsApped him through another director who was common friends, right? Mm-hmm. And I just put the idea around it. And he had a very busy schedule of traveling to London. And remember you were going for some premiere of a film and everything. And he liked the idea. And then he met the director.
Mm-hmm.
In 10 minutes, without reading the script, he says, I want to do this film. Right?
Yes, no, absolutely right. I mean, I thought that the idea of the film, which celebrates something which is almost taboo to talk about it in our society, which is death.
Yeah.
We don't talk about it. And Westerners even don't talk about it at all.
Mm-hmm.
And what is death for Indians?
Yeah.
What is that death in terms of from the point of view of Indian mysticism?
Mm-hmm.
Though we didn't delve into the philosophy so much, but in such a simple way that the film talks about death and what it means by the word salvation or mukti,
mm-hmm.
is just sheer brilliant. You know, it's sheer brilliance because, as you said, it's understated.
Yeah.
Also, the film.
Yeah.
And we did not sort of underline anything that we have a message, we don't.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, when one finishes watching the film, you come with a very expanded heart.
Mm.
And which is very rare that which happens after watching a film. Mm. These days, most of the Netflix that you see is all dark, 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 you know, all of it. My dear friend and teacher says that, he says it very nicely, that we have such understanding of the craft of filmmaking, you know, in the world. I'm talking about world cinema.
Mm-hmm.
But quite often it's like a vulture flying up high up there, but the eyes are on the lower depths of humanity.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. What an analogy.
So, yeah, it is. No, we always look down at the lower parts instead of finding a way to inspire people. But this film, Mukti Bhavan, is one such film.
Mm.
That though we talk about death, but death is, what is death in a way? Just to put it very, very simply, is put it that way. But also celebrate life in the face, on the face of death.
Yeah.
So very rarely that I have come across such a script and written by, when he wrote it, he was 23 years old, Subhashish.
Yeah.
When he directed, he was 24. And it's just, one of the experiences that I will never forget in my life.
Yeah. So, oftentimes, we read about this a lot, about how there's a conflict of vision for how the movie should turn out.
Yeah.
So, this is obviously kind of a passion project for you because you're working so closely with your son. So, tell me a little about how the vision you had, the vision your son had, and he's of course the writer as well, and as well as director. How did you keep that initial vision intact while filming the film?
So you see, the thing is, it is a very clear demarcation between a producer and a director that is there.
Mm.
And that happened between the writer, director and me, you know, is that, you know, it was his vision and not mine first. my job was to support the film, put the resources right, and whatever other support that goes into producing a movie and then exploiting the film after it has been made was my sole responsibility.
Okay.
The whole vision was his. But to also share something with this, that I attended a lot of workshops on this film with the director in Venice. And so it exposed me to, you know, a lot of brainstorming sessions where the script was being doctored. By a few very reputed mentors.
Yeah.
And their only job is to, you know, kill bad things from their point of view and really be very brutal. So it exposed me to a process. But the script that I read and the translation of that script into the ultimate output was a big revelation for me. And actually this discussion between Shubhashish and me, we had it two nights ago over a drink. That how you should not look at script the like as it is. It is the director who has a far superior vision of it and far evolved vision rather, right?
You agree with me? Precisely. Otherwise, the script would have been enough.
Yeah.
We don't need to make a film.
Correct. So we were like happy with the script, but I think I used to see what they call as dailies. So when you shoot the film at the end of the day or the next morning, you see what have you shot. The director, actors, everybody's busy. So I, as a producer, you know, I used to spend a few couple of hours every day looking at what we have shot. And every time I would see, I say, wow, there's something. we discussed it like this, but this is different. You know. So I think that is where it was like a complete revelation. So vision was directors, how what he wanted, actors. Ours was to support and recommend in some
facilitate.
Cases. Like for example, I recommended his name to the director,
thank
saying,
you
"What
so
do you think?"
Much, Sanjay.
So I said,
"Thank you,
what
sir.
Do you think of this man?" We didn't know each other then. So we were just going like, okay, looking at. I said, and instantly the director said, "I found my Rajiv. That's how it is. Can you get me Rajiv now?" It's like that, you know.
Yeah. And do you think a film such as this could have been made as it is as a mainstream commercial film?
Of course.
Yeah.
I give him an example of Dangal also. That from Dangal, take out Amir and put him here and put him in Dangal. They look completely different, both the films.
Yeah, but I think there is another shift which has to happen. Like Dangal, if you take out Amir
and we don't have songs in our film, so maybe we had to add songs. You know?
No. Even how you place the camera and what you intend to catch in this frame. Right now, somebody is shooting us with a, you know, on a camera with a phone. So this is the frame, and we every possible dots in the frame. There, if there are 200 billion dots, is chosen. It's a call that the director and the art director and the production designer makes. But finally, it's the director's call. No, I want 1 millimeter shift of the frame from here to here. That's the director's call. So in that, the attitude of the director, the intention of the director will decide whether you're going to treat it as a commercial film, which has got certain, you know, which follows
certain parameters
and formula, blah, blah, blah. Will you take a long shot and try to show the grandeur of a particular
and the drama of it?
And the drama, how you act, how the actors have to act, even in the same film, you know?
Correct.
Would it be overstated as they say, no, we want
meter.
A little...
What do you call
and
it?
The meter and also the words which are being spoken.
Dialogues. What,
the jargon which are being used. The combination of the vocabulary which is being used and the economy of the vocabulary that you are not... We are not putting... We are not underlining things, you know? Just one word, two words there and here. And you're expressing...
Even
the
backdrop of the story can change. Absolutely. For example... In Mukti Bhavan, we show a very lower middle class person who is struggling in his career as an insurance agent, an officer, right? You could have had a very rich man and his father comes up with this saying, dude, I'm going to die. Take me to Benares.
I want could to have been there as well.
And they would have traveled in their Merc, flown their private jet.
And stayed in Taj there and having the
something,
whole thing.
You know, a lot
so
of things
how you
change.
Place the how you premise place the story, where you place it, what are the each and every millisecond that is there in the film is from a very different point of view, not from the point of view in order to sell it to a bigger market. That's not the intention. The intention is the capturing the truth, which is based on the vision of the director. So that's the difference.
We also call that in very simple way, it's not a jargon or anything, but we call it the creative integrity of the film. So that is what is very important, you know, when you're making an honest, good film.
So if you take Aamir Khan out of Dangal and put me there, it is not going to change anything. It will still be a commercial film.
Whether it can be. It
how many possible. People watches it? It's a different...
Will be commercial. But I'm saying, my only perspective is because he's... like more popular the way, you know, in terms of, you know, reach he has with the audience.
Yes.
And Adil has just come into the industry a few years ago and he's evolving. Like today, you know, I see, you know, the kind of offers you're getting, Adil, are like mostly lead actor offers after Mukti Bhavan. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just so, it actually makes me happy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a very external thing to his life, but yet kind of integrated, you know. But I see that thing that, you know, how even popular, you know, directors in that sense are approaching Adil Hussain and, you know.
Absolutely.
Which is something really good.
So you mentioned that you thought Mr. Hussain would be absolutely perfect for the role of Rajiv. What made you think you would be able to do, you would do justice to the role as it were?
Right. I think it's very close to my experience. My relationship with my father and my the town that I come from is a very small town. I grew up in a very lower middle class family. My father was a teacher. I grew up in that kind of constrained economic situation where I have to think 200 times, or my dad has to think 20 times whether if I can buy a trouser for my older son or younger son in a year. So in that constraint, there are a lot of difficulties which come, and the consequences of such economic constraints give birth to a lot of different kinds of tensions, and how you look at the future of each you know, each offspring of yours. And my relationship with my dad, that he was a person that I didn't even, I didn't have the courage to look at his eyes when he was in his heydays. I mean, when he mellowed down after he was 80, 85, you know, then it was, we became sort of friends. So this is a father-son relationship, and I was pretty ready for his death.
Yeah.
Because he was 93 years old and I was ready since he was like 85, that any day I got a call from somewhere. And that's the part I needed. I had to act in the film because I was totally ready for my death. And here, Rajiv, the character, main character, he's not ready. He doesn't believe his father is going to die.
Correct.
He thinks that this is nonsense. You know, what is it? What do you mean by that? You know, how do you know?
He just looks normal. So he's saying
he's healthy man and. So all that, and it's very close to my heart, and and the script is so organically written. That means it flows. You know, you don't have to question or say, oh, if this has happened before, he's not going to behave like this. So that question never occurred when I read the script. And it was so simple. The economy of words, as I said, economy of scenes even.
Yeah.
You know, all that was so clear. And when I met the director, who was 24, and I kept asking him during the shoot, how old are you? So I realized that his depth of life, though he lived only 24 years so far, but somewhere I feel that he has got a soul of like 1,000 years old. That he has, very rarely that I have come across such a person of that age. I met other people, very few though. Those other people are also very few, maybe five or six in my life, those who have that kind of understanding of life and the stability, inner stability that he has. And also understanding of cinema, you know, how you narrate his story. So all that was more than enough for me to jump into it.
Okay.
And I did.
Yeah.
And thankfully I did.
No, it's really cool, Adil. You know, whenever Shubhashish and I have a discussion, Sajida, my other producer, partners, and one thing we are so convinced about, that it was Adil who was the, you know, you know, who could not, nobody else could play that role so amazingly well, so true to what it was, what he did, you know, you couldn't imagine.
Yeah.
And of course, everybody loves the whole family in the film.
Yeah.
Mr. Behel,
all
Gitanjali,
of the actors were so
Palomi Ghosh, and Mr. Rastogi, Namnindra Behel.
Yeah.
Everybody is like, so, it just actually looks like a family.
Yeah.
You know, nobody can, everybody comes out very positive. So there's actually not a negative comment that we see here from people that, that it actually, they believe that it's a true story going on in front of their eyes. They're peeping through somebody's window into somebody's house and that is happening. You know?
And so a lot of movies, they aren't shot like as the script goes, right? They're
not sequentially,
sequential, right?
Not
so
chronological.
When you're playing a role such as this, what's the challenge, what are the some of the challenges you face about at what stage your character should be in, and like the stages of grief, as they say, or whatever? How do you decide how to play it?
Some responsibilities are on my shoulder to remember what I have done before in terms of what I've shot before and what, which part of the film that I shot on the first day, not necessarily the first scene of the film that I'll be shooting on the first day, to remember that. And it's not a exercise of memorizing that. It's sort of, nowadays, after working for such a long time on the stage and theater as an actor, I would say, there is a body memory which remembers it. And for some reason, if I'm off key, like suppose we were shooting that he reminded me, we shot the last scene on the 10th day and not on the 29th day. I thought
and
we
shot
it. And
he was surprised.
I was like, really? Oh.
Today he asked me that question.
Yeah, yeah. I did in the car.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, we shot on the last scene on the 10th day. So how would it match? You know, which is shot on the 10th day.
And it's,
and I'm
it's the
shooting
climax
the
of the
previous
scene.
And shooting the previous scene on the 29th day. So the director has... So I completely depend on the director. Because the director would choose and will guide me that, no, this wasn't the intensity. The intensity of that was this much. 1 degree, 2 degrees, 10 degrees, 4 degrees, 5 degrees. So I just follow that and follow my intuition. I don't have to write it down.
You know, a lot of times I have seen in watching a movie and saying, "Hey, ye character ye kyun kar raha hai?" Though I'm not a creative person, I'm a producer, you know, and but maybe
you're
I have little.
Producer.
I'm a creative producer. Thank you for that. So I sometimes when I'm watching movies, I think, why is that body language like this?
Yeah.
Why is he speaking this dialogue?
Yeah. Mm.
So I don't even blame the actor so much as
this
much
not,
as
yeah.
you know, I think the responsibility lies with
the director.
Director, the first AD.
Absolutely.
And these guys have to, you know,
remind.
See.
Yeah.
Because no film is generally shot linearly.
Yeah.
No
it's
film.
You know?
Very rarely.
Very rarely.
Yeah, very, very rarely.
Yeah, because there are schedules of different things
location
that you do.
Wise,
location wise, character wise, different characters are coming, going out and all. That's what happened with our film too.
Yeah.
You know, it was like really completely non-linear shooting, you know.
So just to add to that, it's like when I get the credit for what you said, sheer brilliance and all that, so I would say 65-70% of the credit should go to the director for my
That is always that acknowledged, and that's such a big thing.
No, it is. It is not a big. It's the truth.
No.
Because each and every call the director makes. All right, okay, let's move on. So, I have no idea what I have done. I may be feeling good with 4 takes, but he chooses one out of the 4 or 5 or 10 takes, sometimes 7, 8, 9, 10 takes.
The last, there is a sequence in the last, which is a one take,
10 times.
3 times, so 9 takes were taken.
9 takes.
Wow.
And actually the 9th one was the right one. And
so
he said, I got it. Right?
And so it's, I've got it. Okay, done. So that's, now I can maybe find the difference between what happened in the previous take, but he chose the 9th one. And because he chose the 9th one, that I'm getting the accolades. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
But it is so, of course, I deserve that much. I understand that. But at the same time, that wouldn't have been possible without his supervision.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But so no matter how good the actor is, if you are in a bad film and with a bad director, and also, see, you won't get that appreciation. Even if you have performed brilliantly.
He's performing, and if you're taking 9 takes, is nothing in a film.
Yeah, it's nothing.
You can take 20 takes, 30 takes, 40 takes also.
Yes.
But for us, 9 was a huge number.
Yeah.
We were fighting. We didn't have time. We didn't have money. Everything we didn't have. Yes. Except we had good actors. Okay.
Good director.
Good director and actors. Yeah. Okay. And so, you know, like I've seen the director walking up to me. Adil, so I'm not hearing whatever. But
as it, okay.
You know, like that. He's just making that little expression. And then, he can't tell him. He's acting. He's just directing him. This is my vision of the thing. Now, please.
I want little.
Yeah.
Maybe he's just showing a signal. Like little like this. No, not like that. You know? So I have to understand that.
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
So, just talking about Shubhashish, what kind of a set was he running when he was directing? Like a tight set or like...
What do you mean by tight set?
Like, things had to like... Was he getting stressed out? Easily, like, because things aren't on schedule. Or was he, like, more relaxed, like, acha ho jayega, things like that?
First of all, he can answer that better because I hardly went on to the set.
Okay.
He was on the set in the periphery.
In the periphery.
He was always there.
So, but what was your experience of working with him?
I just saw Shubhashish one day.
Huh.
I was in the courtyard of the Mukti Bhavan.
Huh.
And I saw him coming out suddenly and going...
breathing.
And he looked at me. I said, he smiled and went back. But he would not. I have not felt that vibration from him that he was stressed out.
Okay.
Maybe he was.
Yeah.
I haven't felt it. So his degree of calmness was way higher than most of the directors that I've worked with, including Ang Lee.
Yeah. Well,
that much I can tell you.
Yeah.
I think one special quality about him is he's a people's person.
Yes.
So, what happens is that, and you know, he also tells me, it is important how we interact with the lowest common denominator on the set. So, he is so amazing with that he creates that consciousness amongst each and every crew.
Hmm.
Right from the spot board.
Right from the, so, everybody knows that, listen, this is a shoot and it has to be a happy shoot. So, therefore, less stress will happen.
Yeah.
And I think he has a way of getting through to people in the most nicest way, even if he's stressed out.
Yeah.
Now, he did have, and I'm being honest, we did have issues between me and him. But, you know, we discussed it 3 months after the shoot. Saying, you did this, you did that, you did. So, we have to work again, right?
Yeah, so
I said, sure, I would love to work with you. And I thought everything went off smoothly, but actually it didn't. You know?
Yeah.
So, well, that's
great.
No, also, I think, but
clarifications.
Yeah, we did have this thing. And I think we did face some challenges there, but we all came out of it.
Yeah.
And his leadership, I must admire throughout.
Yes.
Was exceptional because you see the film is not completed till it is completed.
Yeah.
And so say for example we finished shooting on Mukti Bhavan in March, he was on the job till August end.
Wow.
Till it was submitted to Venice or you know finished film.
Yeah.
So he, and one day like when he was doing his what we call his offline edit of the film, which takes generally 3 to 4 months, so we had 3 months only time saying, in that period we have to finish this. And one day...
Here's the whole film.
No, the offline.
Editing.
The offline.
Offline, okay.
Okay. So, I pulled him out after 15, 20 days. I said, Shubhashish, please get out of that room. You've been so... You're so occupied with shoot and then now this... I want you to just get out and just leave this film to the editor for a few days.
Hmm.
Let him put something together and take a... Take some fresh air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I called him to Goa and I was shooting something else there.
Mm-hmm.
And he came there, he chilled out. Went back and he listened. You see, it's because
he's
saying that it's my film. You know, if it is like that, then what happens is you get too possessed with it. But he listened to that advice. He came out of that.
Yeah.
And the thing is, in Venice, we all were together and we got a 10-minute standing ovation for the film.
Wow.
But he comes back next morning to me and you know what he says? I want to cut the film. And he cut the film by 6 minutes.
Yeah, six more minutes.
6 minutes is huge.
Yeah.
When you're saying 104 minutes and now it's 99. So 5 minutes of the film was edited.
Wow. Yeah.
And I said, Shubhashish, you're making me spend more money.
Yeah.
Because you have to edit, you have to remix, you have to do everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Sound, everything you have to remix, yeah. Grade others, yeah, different parts. But you have to follow the creative guy. So, like you said, who's the vision?
Yeah.
Director.
But thank God he cut that scene.
Of course.
Absolutely.
I could have cut two more after that.
Yeah, me too. I can cut out few.
I can cut one scene. Where you leave the father.
And then that whole
straight
thing.
Straight you come to house.
And enter.
Yeah. You've entered.
Absolutely.
That 2.5 minutes, we could have cut and it would have been. And
maybe just one transition.
One! That were Carnicle.
Carnicle.
Yeah, that's right. See, we both agree on that.
So the film itself was shot over 29 days.
So, it was 29 days. But effective shooting was 25, 26 days. Because we used to give break every 7 days.
Holidays.
Okay. Was it pre-production or post-production? Which were more intensive of the two?
Everything was. Because it was a very time-bound thing, you see.
Yeah.
We started pre-production in December.
Mm-hmm.
So December, Jan, Feb, we had 3 months for pre-production. I would say 2.5. Because the team started joining us from 15 December, January and stuff like that. Adil came on board on 1st February.
And we shot in March.
1st March. Oh, 2nd March we started shooting.
One month before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you had post-production of 5 months, five and a half months. Again, it was, in that short a time to put a film together, it's very tough.
Yeah.
Mm. So looking beyond Mukti Bhavan, do you have any future projects that you're excited about or you have lined up?
So we've been working on a few scripts for the last couple of years, including with Shubhashish, two projects. So he's like going to tell me now one of these days. Here is the script, the first draft I'm supposed to see one of these days, and though I have an idea about the film because we've discussed it, that's why it's gone to the script level as well. And then there is a film we've discussed with Adil, with another director. So formal announcements hopefully we'll make in a couple of months. Just in process of finalizing a few things. And if everything goes fine, we shoot in February, March next year, hopefully.
And Mr. Hussain, we were just talking about how you got a bunch of offers coming in.
A lot.
Yeah. So you have done a few very mainstream commercial vehicles. Are you worried about getting typecast at any point?
Oh, I had been very worried about it.
Okay.
And that's why I, to the point that I had to put moratorium on not playing policemen for next 5 years.
Yeah.
Not playing heroine's father. As soon as they see some grey hair, and they would cast you in heroine's father or uncle or a policeman. That's the those are the slots that you have.
Yeah. I want to do a comedy film with you.
Absolutely done.
Because that's what
I can do comedy films rest of my life also.
I actually want to do a comedy film with Adil, because I remember he telling me a couple of years ago when we met, and he says, I've done a lot of comedy stuff in theater and what do you call that?
Stand-up comedy
he's done.
And I'm also trained clown.
Yeah, wow. in Netherlands, where?
Yeah, no, yeah, everywhere. Performed.
So that is something, that's left. Because I've seen Adil playing negative. I've seen him playing very loving intense father and whatever character, and very nice character in Mukti Bhavan also.
Yeah.
And So, I think that one genre of comedy with Adil, if I get the opportunity, I'd be the first one to go to him saying, Adil, let's do this one together,
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think that's all the questions
great.
I have.
Super.
Thank you so much for coming in, taking time out of your schedule.
This program was produced by Akshay Thimaya from Symbiosis Center for Media and Communication, Pune. Thank you for listening.